The All Arizona Daily Download.
The top five local stories of the day.
Now.
Five. Super day for Arizona.
Well, we may be getting another Super Bowl. According to reports, the NFL is set to have Arizona host a Super Bowl for the fourth time, this time in 2023. So for those of you keeping track, that would be Super Bowl LVII or Super Bowl 57. I guess they're coming back to Glendale.
Good. Glendale's a great place to have a Super Bowl. Let's see, 1996, 2008, 2015. In 2015, an ASU study said that that Super Bowl here in Arizona had a gross economic impact of $720 million for Arizona. We know that Glendale likes to whine and complain about the Super Bowl and bringing big events there, but again, you can't really argue the numbers. Millions of dollars come into Arizona. I understand that Glendale isn't necessarily the place that everybody goes for the pre-Super Bowl stuff.
Right.
They go to Phoenix or they go to Scottsdale.
Right.
But still, Glendale makes a ton of money, and so do other Valley cities. There's really no downside to this.
You cannot really estimate the amount of impact when you see the stadium on that live shot. And you put on the screen Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah.
Somebody that used to work for the tourism board said, you can't pay for that kind of coverage. Yeah, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of time consumption here, but you can't pay for that.
This time I'll take you to P. Diddy's party.
Oh. I didn't know he was just
four.
Phoenix has some expanding to do.
You know that Phoenix has gone through some boom times, and there's a new study. Two Arizona cities were involved in a study to find the amount of land undeveloped in urban cores in the United States. And guess what? Phoenix has about 131.35 million square feet of undeveloped land in urban areas. So, again, that boom, look for more building and more people to come here.
I mean, for those of us that have been here for a while, and I've been here almost 22 years.
Well, you've seen a lot of the boom then.
I remember getting here in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to explain it a couple of different ways, how big Phoenix has gotten. When I was here in my 20s, there were like two or three tops, like nightclubs.
Yeah.
When you're in your 20s, you want to go to the bars, you want to go to a nightclub. There were three. Well, now, obviously, there are like hundreds, right? The other thing was, and it just shows you big businesses pop up. I mean, the 51 ended at Northern. I mean, that's how small this place was.
Right.
And there was all this land to build. And, you know, people are saying, oh, yeah, my house was built in 2005 or 2010 or 1998. I mean, these are really new buildings. So, I mean, Phoenix will continue to expand. We're still such a young place, you know?
Right.
I just wonder, are we going to have, like, houses on the way from Tucson or Phoenix to Tucson?
It'll be all sprawl.
Right.
Like the East Coast, you know? Tucson's the other city, too. Lots of undeveloped land.
Three.
Number three story on the All-Arizona Daily Download. Family who lost everything gets a surprise.
Yeah. Everything, meaning everything on their property was burnt to the ground by the Viewpoint fire. And it's just, it's amazing how quickly a fire can spread and take everything.
It was our home, and now it's destroyed. I don't know what to do.
And that's Ken. He and his wife, Jessica, they came home to absolutely nothing. But
the one surprise we have for you guys is I've been working with a woman named JC who lives in Prescott Valley. She is out of town, but she wanted me to print these pictures because she's going to donate her entire Harry Potter hard book collection to you guys.
Oh, no.
Just
really?
Really. This
wow,
week on
that's
Wednesday.
Incredible. Wow. That's amazing. Thank you so much. I can't believe it.
An RV donated the entire trailer for free. This RV
An
company.
An entire RV?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they
great.
Have a place to live because, you know, it's got a bed, it's got a chair, it's got a washer, a dryer, it's got a television. You know, these people came home to absolutely nothing.
Right.
And
you can
so
never
somebody,
tell.
Somebody in the Valley steps up and says, all right, we own a pretty big business. We're going to make sure that this family at least has a place to sleep at night.
Yeah, thanks to 3TV, CBS5 for that audio. But yeah, generosity is big in Arizona.
Two.
The big one could affect Arizona.
Yeah, how could Arizona be affected by the big one in Southern California? Well, you've got government agencies and businesses and other organizations in Arizona that are going to participate in an exercise. to practice how this state would respond to a migration of 400,000 people
or more
if a catastrophe happened in, let's say, Los Angeles. What if the big earthquake happened?
Right.
We'd have people from California coming to Arizona.
Now, do you treat them like The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Where you make sure they don't get over the border? Because I don't know if those exercises are going to be relevant. But, I mean, imagine if the big one hit Southern California.
You would not treat them like The Walking Dead.
We would be the first state, really, to say, okay, we're ready for the emergency that would, and the influx of people. Remember after Katrina?
Yeah.
I mean, the cities of Houston, the cities of Dallas. I remember there were people that as far as, I think, like Omaha, Nebraska, they were transplanted across the country. That could happen here, too, if you have a big earthquake in California. California slides into the sea.
Right.
Well, where do the people, where do the survivors come? They come to Arizona.
I was here when Katrina hit New Orleans, and people from New Orleans came here.
Yeah.
That's a few hundred. And it was tough to place them. We're talking about a few hundred thousand if the earthquake hits California.
One.
Ducey dines with Trump.
And everybody wants to know, are they going to have a fantastic piece of chocolate cake?
Well, he's president, they could.
That's really what I want to know.
Yeah.
What's for dinner, Governor and Mr. President? That's what I want to know. I know you're going to be talking border security and immigration policies, but I want to know what's for dinner. What do you think? Steak? Fish? How about burgers?
You know,
President likes to eat burgers.
Yeah, he likes to eat fast food. So does he make a call to KFC? I don't know. Maybe ask Doug Ducey. Hey, do you like McDonald's?
Next time Ducey comes in for his monthly exclusive with us, hey, how was KFC at the White House?
Right.
Extra crispy.
The governor of Arizona will meet with the president tonight to discuss border security, immigration policies. But I bet, too, they'll talk about gun safety and school safety in light of the latest school shooting. And the fact that, remember, Doug Ducey's school plan did not even get a vote in the legislature.
Right. And we talked last week about how Arizona Democrats want Governor Ducey to hold a special session. They demanded it. And obviously, you know, a lot of that is political.
Yeah. Does Ducey bring the dessert?
I think it's the least he can do.
I mean, owner of Coldstone, he can make a call.
Listen, I think the president's doing Ducey a favor by giving us the National Guard on the border for free.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, Ducey better come big to the White House. Better bring some kind of care package.
Absolutely.
Something nice, right?
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea with no mask, no hose, no noise. Go to InspireSleep.com today.
10 people killed in the school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, but they might not have all died at the hands of the school shooter. You got to hear this. We'll explain it in a second.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You know, Gatos just mentioned the next time Doug Ducey's in for his monthly exclusive, if you miss any of the show, let's say you miss a big interview, you miss a big newsmaker, have you subscribed to the Mac and Gatos podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Mac and Gatos podcast brought to you by B&B Blinds.
8 kids dead, 2 teachers dead. This is the Santa Fe school shooting in Texas that happened on Friday, and we were discussing it at great length in the air that day. We've got new details, and I mean, I just got to preface it by these details are horrifying. They really are. We know
this
that
is what you don't want to hear after a school shooting, that's for sure.
The shootout between the Texas school gunman, the 17-year-old, and the deputies lasted 25 minutes. It's a long time. We know that authorities got there within 4 minutes. That's pretty good. I mean, after the first shot and you're there in 4 minutes, can you ask for anything more? I don't think you can ask for a faster response.
That's a better response time and a better response than what happened in Parkland, Florida. I mean, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. But this is just, I didn't see this coming. I didn't know we were going to talk about it today. I didn't even really think this was a possibility. The people who were killed, the victims, they may not have been shot by the gunman.
Yeah, the authorities are saying they're waiting for the medical examiner's autopsies to make the determination, how was this person, the eight students, two teachers, how were they killed and who killed them?
Crossfire. So think about it. You've got, like, the resource officer that's there. You've got the authorities that have arrived on the scene. They're all, like, I don't know. You could just imagine in your mind if they're maybe in a hallway. You know, they're down the hallway here.
Yeah, that's a great point. We don't know
I don't know either.
How many – where exactly did the 25-minute – was it one classroom
was it
or was it chasing
but
down the hall?
I just kind of see it one, in a hallway. That's how I see it in my mind, where you got the resource officer and you've got the police, and they're shooting down the hallway at this guy, at this massacre, this killer, right?
Right.
And then some of the victims – may have been hit by gunfire that didn't come from the bad guy.
Yeah.
It came from the good guys. Now, we don't know that to be a fact, but they're starting to say, and I'm thinking they're starting to say this because they kind of know.
Well, they have their suspicions because the Galveston County Sheriff said it's unclear whether all the victims were shot with a shotgun or a .38,
right.
Which means...
they were shot by...
they may have been shot by someone else's gun, and that could have been a resource officer, a law enforcement agent, that then you have what is known as collateral damage.
Right.
That in the attempt to make sure that they stop this active shooter, somebody, as you pointed out, you said the word, was caught in the crossfire,
like,
unfortunately.
Like, if you're at war, it's friendly fire. You know, that's what made me think a little bit, too. It's when the good guys shoot the good guys by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so... do we have to rethink this whole resource officer situation? Do we have to rethink, you know, bullets flying in a school? Well, if it's coming from the bad guy, we've got the good guys there, right?
How do you stop the bad guy?
Well, you got to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try and shoot the bad guy, you could take out a couple kids.
I remember after Parkland, Florida, somebody said, and their argument for a teacher having a gun, their argument was... well, is it better for a couple people to be dead or a couple hundred? Now, that's an exaggeration, but his point was, is it better for a couple of people to get shot in the crossfire, or do you let somebody with a gun loose in the school to take pot shots at whomever and whatever they want to shoot? The death toll would escalate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a great argument. I'm not saying I agree with the argument, but that has been one of the things that has been brought up a number of times. Look, let's say one teacher was shot dead by a law enforcement officer.
All right.
If you're a parent, aren't you going to say, and your kid survived, aren't you going to say, I feel sorry for their family, but thank God it wasn't my kid, because this guy, again, brought enough ammunition and had enough weapons to take out a whole bunch more kids before he finally surrendered.
I think you got to shoot back. You have to have a resource officer. They've got to have a firearm. And I think you got to shoot back. And I'm horrified that if there was a kid or a teacher, you know, that was caught in this, I don't know what else you do. Because if you don't shoot back...
well, then you're just sitting ducks.
Then you can't do anything. You've got to... you know, it's like the resource officer, the gutless wonder that was in Parkland. Yeah, gutless wonder. Didn't even go in. Didn't even go into the school. Took his gun and just bailed. He ran away like the coward that he is. If he had gone in there and you know, at least fired back at the guy.
At least confronted him.
Yeah. There might be less dead children. Now, maybe he would have shot another child, but maybe there would be, you know, less dead children.
Right. We've also heard the argument that a lot of experts are saying the safest thing for kids to do, or if you are caught in this situation, is run. Make it harder for the gunman to make you a target. Just run.
Right.
I have a hard time. If I had the choice between a weapon and running, I would take my chances with a weapon. As harsh as it sounds, I wouldn't want to shoot anybody.
If you were a teacher?
Or a teacher or somebody that was a law enforcement officer. You don't want to take the guns away from resource officers. I think that would be a big mistake. I buy it, but I don't buy it arming teachers because, again, this is the type of stuff that would happen. But the running thing, the running reason to make it harder, you're still outmatched.
So 10 people killed in the school shooting. There is a chance that some of the deaths may have happened because a resource officer or a deputy fired in the direction of the killer, and hit innocent people.
Right.
So we're continuing to work on that story. Now, the lieutenant governor of Texas wants to arm teachers.
We need our teachers to be armed. When you're facing someone who's an active shooter, the best way to take that shooter down is with a gun. But even better than that is 4 or 5 guns to one. We need armed teachers trained, of course, not just anyone who has a gun, but trained how to handle active shooters in the schools.
Dumbest idea I ever heard, and I think that this story is a perfect reason why you don't give teachers a gun. You had a resource officer, and you had deputies who can aim pretty good, I'm guessing.
They've been trained.
Yeah. And still, they weren't perfect.
Right.
They may have taken out a kid.
Or a teacher or
right.
a couple.
So if you give it to a teacher who's not in law enforcement,
right.
again, you can go to the shooting range and be perfect. When you hear gunfire, some of your motor skills go right out the door.
This is why they actually shoot over top you in my dad always tells me about when he was in boot camp in the Army, they shoot over top of you because that's a live situation.
Right.
You get used to the sound, you get used to the reverberation, and you have to remain calm and shoot your weapon because that's what war is. That's what they're training you for. At least resource officers are trained to use their firearm. But again, I understand where the lieutenant governor is coming from, and there are some school districts like the Argyle School District in Texas. Their teachers are armed. Maybe that's a deterrent. But when it comes to stuff flying,
When all heck breaks loose,
if you have a firearm, you're going to use that, and unfortunately, if someone's going to get in the crossfire, again, is it better to shoot one kid or 10?
Well,
or 20.
I go back to the motor skills. There was a story I saw over the weekend of how a teacher would go and lock the door because of the shooting, and they would have to lock the door with the key.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That they would. It's like the movies. You get the key out, and you're shaking. And
right,
you
right,
drop
right.
the key.
Right.
And then you're trying to put the key into the hole,
right.
and you can't do it. That actually does happen.
Oh, yeah.
Your motor skills go right out the door.
Right.
So what are we going to do? Hand a teacher a gun now? And then their hands are going to shake like that. I mean,
we also know
it's not going to work.
We also know the motive of the shoot of why the shooting happened, as well as why he only shot certain people.
Yeah, listen to this.
We now know from eyewitnesses that the suspect went in through the back of the school with 2 guns, and he opened fire on his classmates. And we have heard from the mother of one of the victims, Shauna Fisher, who the mother says was pursued by the suspect for 4 months, and that she rejected his advances, the mother said, and she said that made her daughter a target in all of this.
The first person that this guy shot was a girl who did not want to date him.
And was so pursued, so doggedly pursued, she actually had to stand up in class and tell everybody, I'm not going out with him. He also only shot people that he did not like because he wanted his friends or the people that liked him to tell his story.
Terrible.
Now, that makes it even more evil because he wants leniency. He wants people to feel sorry for him. Come on.
Coming up next, did SB 1070 just arrive in Montana? Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Sanderson Ford and presidential polls teaming up for the 10K carpool giveaway. You can win 10 grand toward the purchase of a Sanderson Ford or a presidential pull, or just pocket the cash. All you have to do is text the word carpool to 411923 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com. Text the word carpool to 411923 right now.
You know, in Arizona, we've dealt with immigration sweeps and Joe Arpaio and seen the trouble that he got into.
Mm-hmm.
We saw SB 1070 pass a number of years ago. Some people called it the Show Me Your Papers law. We know that we've got a lot of people coming in over the border and sneaking into the great state of Arizona. So I think we know illegal immigration pretty well here in this state.
Right.
What about Montana?
Montana, not so much. Montana is bordering Canada, and you don't hear a lot about people from Canada sneaking into this country. So it kind of, I guess, goes without saying that Let's say there's a Border Patrol agent that hears two people speaking Spanish in a small Montana town. Does that get your attention?
Well, that's exactly what happened. There was a Border Patrol agent in Montana, and they were at a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like midnight, right? It was late at night, apparently.
Yep.
You had two women. They were making a midnight run to the store. They were picking up eggs. They were picking up milk.
Anna and Mimi.
Yes. They were speaking Spanish to each other. And the Border Patrol agent basically went over there and started asking them questions like they were illegal immigrants. And one of the women decided, okay, well, I've got my cell phone and everybody does this. I'm rolling. Here is some of the exchange.
So can you tell us in the video, please, why you ask us for our IDs, please?
Wow, her English sounds good.
Guilty.
Guilty.
So can you tell us in the video, please, why you ask us for our IDs, please?
Ma'am, the reason I asked you for your ID is because I came in here and I saw that you guys are speaking Spanish, which is very unheard of up here.
Oh, you got to throw them in Gitmo. They're speaking Spanish, Mac.
I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. I mean, here in Arizona, it would be, oh, okay, that person's speaking Spanish. Duh, we're next to the Mexico border.
Right.
There are a lot of Spanish-speaking people here.
Yeah.
Montana, not so much. And I don't know if this guy, is this guy going off of training or is this guy going off of something else?
Border Patrol agent?
Yeah. This guy saying, boy, I don't see a lot of people speaking Spanish here. Could these people be in this country illegally? And should I actually figure out if they're American citizens? By the way, they are.
Yes. They're both United States citizens.
Right. Who were just speaking Spanish.
At a gas station in Montana.
Yeah.
Well, let me answer a couple of your questions that you said. You know, how are you trained? What is the Border Patrol agent allowed to do? Well, they have the authority to question individuals, make arrests, and take and consider evidence. But they cannot initiate stops without reasonable suspicion of an immigration violation or crime.
So is a reasonable suspicion based on these two people speaking a language that isn't English in a northernmost state that borders Canada?
Speaking Spanish, I don't think is a valid reason to stop or detain somebody. That's profiling. You're assuming that the person speaking Spanish is here illegally.
And he said that on the video. I mean, he said, you're speaking a language that we really don't speak around here.
So
I don't know what this guy is really thinking.
So if they were speaking French, would he have gone up to them and said, I need to see your ID? The answer, of course, is no.
Oh, yeah. If they're French-Canadian, you'd boot them. Absolutely.
If they were speaking Russian, they would say, are you here with the president?
If they
were speaking Russian, this Border Patrol agent never would have went up to these two.
Right.
So obviously it was, they're speaking Spanish, I'm going to profile them, and I'm going to go up and ask them for their papers. You can't do that.
They explained to the agent, and they showed them their IDs that, you know, they were born in El Paso, but they were raised in Mexico. So they are American citizens.
So they were raised across the border.
Correct. They were born in El Paso, but they were raised across the border. He kept them in the parking lot for 35 to 40 minutes. Again, I don't understand what he is trying to do. The only thing I can think of is he's thinking maybe to himself, I don't know, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I hear these people speaking Spanish. We know that there is an immigration problem south of the border. If these people are caught doing something and they find out that I was there or I was in the same gas station and didn't question them, am I going to lose my job? I don't know if he's just being safe and covering his own buttocks, as it were, or whether he's really going off of, I have every right to stop you because you're speaking another language, which is, by the way, not legal. That's profiling.
So exactly what you said is the reason he's probably going to get fired. You said maybe. You're just trying to think. Why would he do it?
Yeah, like is he covering his own butt in case something happens?
No, he's getting his own butt fired because he's profiling somebody. That's not covering your own butt.
Covering his own butt in case something with these two people happens.
But now,
and he is found out to be there, and he didn't question them at all.
But now that it's out,
oh yeah,
that
screwed.
He did it,
oh, he's
screwed.
Yeah.
So why did he do it in the first place? He didn't do it to. He's got to think. He's got to think two or three steps ahead. If I go and stop them, am I going to lose my job? Probably, because you have no reason to stop them. They're buying eggs. Did they commit a crime? What crime did they commit? Was there a reason for him to go and initiate a stop? What evidence
doesn't sound like it?
What
right
evidence
now.
Did he have to say, "Show me your papers"?
Right.
I mean,
well, he didn't ask to show them their papers, but
show
me the SB 1070 thing. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, show me your ID.
Right.
Where's the reasonable? So if you're in Montana and you're a Border Patrol agent, because two people are speaking Spanish, that's reasonable suspicion.
Red flag.
That
pull them over.
They're illegal?
I guess.
Come on.
I guess.
Come on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the guy did say in the video, the Border Patrol agent said, "You're speaking a language that isn't really spoken around here. Who are you? Are you supposed to be here?"
What if they're here visiting? I don't know if they live here. They visit.
See,
who
that
cares?
That was the other part.
A lot of people go to Montana. They go from all over the world, maybe. Who knows?
They do. There are busloads of Japanese, Korean, and Asian country tourists that go to Yellowstone, Grand Teton, Great Falls, Whitefish. But they're usually in a group. They're not by themselves. I mean, these two women, I don't know. I just can't think of why this guy, like you said, think two or three steps ahead. What are you going to gain by stopping them? Okay, peace of mind that they are United States citizens. Why did you hold them for 35 to 40 minutes?
You're only going
to
hurt the reputation of Border Patrol.
And you're going to make your town and people in your town look racist.
Right, right. It's a stupid move. You're not trying to keep anybody safe by going up to two women
right.
who were buying eggs at a grocery store or it was a convenience store. It was a gas station. And holding them for 40 minutes.
I don't get that.
You're bad at your job. You don't know what you're doing.
The Border Patrol agent makes the stereotype, again, that all small-town law enforcement hate people who are different. That's not good. That's not a good look for you.
Coming up next, a baseball announcer talks sliders and slavery. Oh, geez. Should he apologize? Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
At 3:05, John Hook, Fox 10, he'll join us. Talk about this survey. 62% of likely GOP voters want John McCain to step down before the end of the month. Should he? Then at 4:05, the Big Four at 4, four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour. So, there was a ball game just the other day. Houston Astros and the Cleveland Indians.
Hmm.
Controversy.
Very.
Didn't take place in the field.
It didn't.
It was in the broadcast booth.
It wasn't like a triple play went bad or anything like that?
No. There was a discussion between announcers, Preston Wilson, who's played, he played 10 years in the major leagues.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of him. They were working the game for the Astros television. And Jeff Bagwell, I think people remember him.
Bags. He played for the Astros for like 15 years
Color
or something.
Color commentator, Jeff Blum. I don't know who he is.
Okay.
Basically, the discussion was between these three men about which pitches were the most difficult to hit. You know?
All right. So what's controversial about that? I mean, every hitter is going to have their pitch that maybe they can't hit very well. So what's controversial about pitching?
This.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about this, Blummer and Baggy, but for me, it was the slider. I can take the fastball, but I actually had somebody ask me if I could go back in history and change one thing. I skipped right over slavery and went to the slider.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
That is unbelievable. I'm not even going to comment on that.
I wasn't really prepared for that.
So I guess, Mac, if you could go back in history and change one thing, what would it be?
It would be...
Oh, wait, that's not the discussion we're about to have, is it?
It would be that I could unhear that.
Oh!
That would be one. I understand where Preston is coming from, but you can't make a joke about slavery. I'm sorry. And the weird thing is, as soon as I heard that, all I could think of is you put your partners on the spot, because if they don't laugh, they make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
If they do laugh at you, they make it worse. How are you supposed to react to that? How are you supposed to say, you know, does Bags or Blummer, do one of them say, "Hey, man, not cool. You better apologize."
It's like,
or do you go, yeah, two and two.
Well,
you know, I mean
yeah,
and here's the pitch.
He does put his fellow broadcasters in a tough spot. It's like when Kanye West went on TV after Katrina. George Bush doesn't like black people.
And Mike Myers wanted to crawl into a hole and basically did with his career.
Oh, he did, really. I mean, that's the last thing we remember from Michael Myers. But
pretty much.
Mike Myers. But does it make a difference that Preston Wilson is black?
He might say, he might try to hang his hat on that, I won't call it an excuse, but that part of him, that he is black. He can try to make a joke where I would say there's nothing funny about domestic violence jokes. There's nothing funny about slavery jokes. There's nothing funny about the Holocaust jokes. And you could say we're too insensitive. In the 60s, Hogan's Heroes was based on being in not a concentration camp, but World War II in a POW camp. And they made jokes about concentration camps and the Nazis that it ain't the 1960s anymore. I mean, it's not even the 1990s or the early 2000s. We are in a different time. You cannot make those jokes. Now, do I think he should be fired? No. But I do think he needs to explain himself.
So basically what he's saying is he hated hitting the slider so much that he could go back in history, he would erase the slider.
Before
it was ever
slavery.
Well, yeah. Before,
I mean, he's speaking hyperbolically.
Well, of course he is. He would erase the slider from mankind.
There you go.
But here's the thing. He's trying to make a point, and he didn't make it real well, but he is trying to make a point about how much he hated the slider.
Because most people would say if you could change one thing about history, well, I'd go back and I'd kill Adolf Hitler as a boy or something like that. Yeah,
right.
Or as a baby or
kill
something
baby
like that.
Kill the baby Adolf Hitler, right.
Right, right. But I don't know. Again, I don't want to see him fired.
No.
But I don't know how you explain that in a way that people are like, okay, you took a... No offense, you took something that you pay an extraordinary amount of money because you can do it really well and compared it to getting rid of slavery. Nah, I can't buy it.
Well, you went on Twitter and he said, hey, listen, I made a comment, it may have offended some people,
okay.
And I'm sorry for that.
Okay. That's
but
a start.
There are other people that say it's so PC out there, you can't say anything.
Because it is.
Coming up next. Right. Is it now insensitive to say... Thoughts and prayers
yeah.
when there's a school shooting next.